Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs live on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. This is an opportunity for me to have a spiritual conversation with my special guest, and I've had some great guests over the year. This is my fourth year doing Wednesdays with Willa. So many wonderful spiritual topics, usually relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And I'm delighted to have on my show again, Nancy Lombardo. Thanks for being here today, Nancy.
Hi, Willa. How are you?
Good, good. For those of you who don't know who Nancy Lombardo is, she is my favorite neighbor. She lives right next to me, and she is a lovely lady. She's done some beautiful things in her life. She's a retired police detective, helping so many people in that area, in that arena. Give her credit. We've done some shows about those kinds of topics. If you want to look back in the archived videos of Wednesdays with Willa, go to my Facebook page, and you can watch to your heart's content. You can look for Nancy on there. She's been on a few times, and she always has such wonderful things to share. She's also the Church of the Living Spirit president, and she's doing a wonderful job in that role. And she is a yoga instructor, and she is one of the fittest people I have ever known. she does marathons, and you can see her lovely Nancy running through Lilydale and around the lake frequently. And so I'm delighted to have her back on the show. We're going to be talking about a very special topic. I'll announce that in just a bit. I want to explain this is also going out on Lilydale Blog Talk Radio. So that's a listen-only feature. So if it's something that's better for you to tune in for podcast reasons, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. There are other Lilydale Radio shows that you can tune into throughout the week. So I encourage you to check those out. Dates and times vary for those shows. Now, back to our topic, we're going to be talking about connecting mind, body, and spirit through wellness. And that is something that is near and dear to Nancy's heart, and I can't wait to hear what she has to share with us today.
Thanks, Willa. It's so funny, you're just talking. I could probably look out my window and wait. Yet here we are on Zoom.
It's already been a year of all this. Yeah.
Yes, right. But that's okay. We get to see each other quite often.
Yes.
That works out well. Yes, yoga is near and dear to my heart. Believe it or not, I started off with Pilates way back when, probably about 12 years ago. I did Pilates, and someone's just like, why don't you try yoga? And I was just like, yoga? You know, and you see all those people in those bendy positions. And I'm like, there's no way I can't do yoga. And I had, in my police work, you know, the stress level was extremely high all the time. And I remember one time, you know, my caseload on my desk was just incredible. And I remember one time sitting at my desk and thinking, I can't even breathe. I mean, I literally couldn't breathe. I just felt so much stress. And for some reason, I thought, I'm going to try that yoga class. And I tried that yoga class, and it was, I never even meditated. I hadn't done any of that. I hadn't tried to put breath and movement together. And I tried that yoga class, and at the very end when you do Savasana and we lay there and just take some time for you, it made a world of difference. And I was hooked. I started doing yoga. But the crazy thing is when I moved back here to New York, I could not find a yoga instructor that I loved as much as the one I had in Oklahoma. I just, you know, you really connect to an instructor, the way they teach, their style of teaching, and I really connected to my yoga instructor, and I could not find one in the area. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go certify and become my own instructor that I want to be. So that's what I did. I went and became a certified yoga instructor and started teaching the yoga style that I couldn't find in this area.
Beautiful. I mean, that's where it starts for many people. They're like, nobody's doing it this way. I've got to bring it to the world. And that's such a special thing. And I know you've been teaching yoga here in Lilydale for the last few years, and even yoga down by the beach.
I have. What people don't know is that yoga goes back over 500 years. Or 5,000.
5,000, I was going to say.
I know you know a thing or two about yoga. But what people don't realize maybe is that yoga back in the day were farmers, a lot of farmers that lived solitary lives, and they used yoga to sharpen their minds to endure their physical hardships. And yoga, way back when, never included movement. It was strictly meditative state and meditative mind. Mindset. It didn't include movement. Movement was not even incorporated until 1200 to 1500 AD.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And at that time, there was only 15 original poses. And I know that you do yoga now. There's like poses, literally, that they've come up with in hundreds of different styles. You know, they even have yoga with goats, paddleboard yoga.
Yoga with kids, yoga with babies, they have yoga.
They have yoga, right?
They have hot yoga, too, which I have not yet experienced, but it's intense.
Hot yoga in Pittsburgh, and it's not my thing because, I mean, it's literally like 100 degrees, and I'm a cooler weather workout person, so that was just like, it was a little too much for me, but they definitely have that. But yoga wasn't introduced to the United States until 1893, believe it or not, at the World's Fair in Chicago. How cool is that?
Very cool.
I'm going to kill this name, but it's Swami Vaidyanatha. Okay, I did that pretty good. He introduced it to the United States. So one thing I like to talk about, yoga means union. Union of the mind, body, and spirit. It's also considered a moving meditation. It's about life, and it's really become just whatever people want to make it as part of their daily life. It's a lifestyle and a way of living. And a lot of times, you can almost connect to a yogi person. You can almost know someone that's doing yoga just because of the way that they're living and the calmness that comes about them because they put it into their daily lives. Do you ever feel that?
Oh, absolutely. There's a mindfulness as you move into posture and prayer and breathing. And absolutely, there's a special quality to it that is going on. And it is a different vibrational frequency from, let's say, Tai Chi or Qigong. Those absolutely have their own value. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's beautiful, any kind of movement that you can do that embodies prayer.
Yeah, I like that. How long? I know you practice yoga for short.
Oh yeah, since I was a teenager. But
are you serious?
Yeah.
Was that far back? Wow.
Oh yeah, but at the same time, different phases of my life, my body has been capable of different things. So I've had to always be aware that the body can shift, and so that's why it's beautiful. There's so many different forms of yoga. Because
yes.
As you're phasing through your life and your physical capabilities during those times, you can know not to push yourself too far when you're in a more delicate mode, and that there are other postures that you can adapt. Yoga is very adaptive, but there is a mindset. When you say, Nancy, there's a mindset of purity. Like certain people, like, this is how you do yoga for real. There's a purity concept with it, and they wouldn't necessarily like this alternative vision that some people bring to yoga, because they want that pure sacred connection type yoga. Yeah, so
the sacred goes back to the union.
Yes. So I think there has been that purist mentality. I'm glad that is there, but we do have the yoga being accessible to all.
Yeah. And there's this quote from Michelle Taylor from the book The History of Yoga, and it says, "The one constant for yoga throughout all its changes over all this time, it has always made sense right where it is." And I love that because it has, you know, evolved, it's changed, there's so many new things, and it makes sense for who you are, where you are in your life. And like you said, you know, I've had neck injuries, I've had my neck fused together, I've had knee injuries, and there's a lot of stuff I can't do. So I just incorporate what I can do that makes sense for me and my body.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you have to do with it. So for anybody that says they can't do any of it, you can sit in a chair and move your arms, and that could be yoga.
Yeah, they have chair yoga.
Yeah, have chair yoga. Chair yoga. So, yeah. You can definitely make it.
You know, in my pregnancies, I had yoga videos that were especially for pregnancy to help open and to keep things flowing beautifully and nicely. And a lot of that was done in the chair as you go farther in the trimesters. So that was my first experience of chair yoga.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I think is cool is there's so many, even like the police departments now are incorporating in their physical fitness activities. I was talking to our friend Lisa Williams and her husband Chris, who's in the military. She said they're starting to do yoga every Friday now.
Yoga
Friday.
So
the military is using it as a stress reducer also, because, like I said, it just helps out overall health and wellness of your body to incorporate that into your routine.
Yeah, football teams, sports teams have incorporated it. It's something that is becoming more universally known, accepted over the decades. Definitely. And it is something that I really enjoy myself, and I'm glad other people are finding peace within those movements too. There's something to be said when you are holding a posture and you're having to just focus on that moment. It does still you, still your mind and still all activity. So you're focused so purely on that instead of the distractions that other life can bring in those moments.
Right. And compared to spirituality, yoga is, of course, a personal practice, and it does tend to answer some of life's biggest questions, as we always question in spirituality, as who am I? Where did I come from? What must I do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of parallel sometimes to our questioning and always searching for our own selves spiritually, why there's a unique parallel with yoga and spirituality, I believe. Do you not?
Oh, yeah. For a lot of people, that is something that, you know, many people who follow, at least through the yoga breathing especially, they've been able to get very, very strong lung functionality, and then also gets them into a particular vibrational frequency to do higher vibrational spiritual work.
Oh, I like that. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. See, some yoga is not always about, you know, pushing your body in or twisting your body or contorting it. Sometimes it's about just being in, let's say, mountain pose and being grounded in that space and knowing that as you breathe, there is a transcendence that is moving with the body and the energetic body at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So today, I wanted to, there's so many different, you know, there's eight limbs of yoga. There's so many different components to yoga. We could go on all week and talking about this. So I wanted to kind of slim it down a bit into, there's Swami Savananda. I'm saying that wrong.
Savananda.
I knew I messed it up. Anyway, he wrote over 200 books on yoga. And he's known for five principles of yoga. And his five principles, which kind of breaks it down easily for people, proper breathing, positive thinking, proper exercise, proper relaxation, and proper diet. So I thought this was an easy way to breaking it down into five spaces that we could talk about that could maybe help people incorporate some of these simple little exercises I want to show you this morning.
Yay.
Into your life for your overall wellness.
Beautiful.
So, thank you. So I want to begin with proper breathing. Pranayama. Prana, meaning life force, breath energy. Yama, meaning control and resistance. And I think we had a show one time, we have talked about breath.
We did.
We did a whole show just on breath, did we not?
We sure did.
Yeah, and so we know it reduces stress, increases energy, reduces anxiety and depression, stabilizes, lowers your blood pressure, and relaxes your muscles. Just simple breathing. Sometimes it's hard for people to just even take breath. And I remember when I was in my police work feeling overwhelmed after I started taking yoga, and even if I was driving around in my unit and sitting at a light, I thought, okay, Nancy, just take some breaths. You know, take 3 deep breaths. And, you know, just taking those 3 deep breaths, even that, in that quick amount of time, all of a sudden you felt a calming, just doing that breath. So anytime you feel overwhelmed or you feel like you just need a little bit of a break, just even taking a few seconds just to take a deep breath will do wonders for you. So the one I wanted to show this morning is called box breath. Have you heard that one?
Let's do it.
Yay, okay. This is good for rebalancing and resetting. And it only takes a few moments. And they call it a box because it's even breaths, just like a box, okay? So we're going to go in for 4, hold at the top for 4, release for 4, hold at the bottom for 4. So it makes a complete box. And we're going to do a cycle of 3 of these, and I'm going to walk you through it. So if you're listening or if you're watching, just get yourself comfortable. We're going to start off by just taking a few deep breaths. And you can breathe in through your nose, out through your nose, if that's comfortable, in through your nose, out through your mouth. It's whatever makes you comfortable. And I'm going to count this for you as we begin. We're going to inhale 2, 3, 4. Hold 2, 3, 4. Exhale 2, 3, 4. Hold 2, 3, 4. Inhale 2, 3, 4. Hold 2, 3, 4. Exhale 2, 3, 4. Hold 2, 3, 4. Inhale 2, 3, 4. Hold 2, 3, 4. Exhale 2, 3, 4. Hold. Just take a moment to take in another breath and just connect with yourself and see how that made you feel. Keep in mind if the 4 was too hard for you to, if that was too long of a breath in and too long of a breath out, you can reduce that to a 3 or even to a 2 if you're a faster breather. But as long as you keep it an even amount of time to complete that square box, how'd that make you feel?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah, like I said, that's just something, a simple little exercise, and it's easy to remember, too. Even breaths all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Just give yourself that moment of time and space and relaxation. And what I think the counting does is it's a distractor. Because sometimes people like, you got all this stuff in your head and you can't get out of your head. So if you put those numbers and actually count it you can't count out loud, you'd have to count it in your head if you're doing it by yourself. But it's a distractor for your brain and an interrupter. And it kind of makes that break to be able to allow you to give you that space that you need. So a simple little exercise.
Beautiful. Beautifully done. You know, to have that distractor is such an important thing, because that left brain likes to engage. It likes to catalog and give all kinds of opinion.
Yeah, and that's the truth.
Yes.
I
And so, you know, this is a union, as you said, of the mind, the body, and the spirit. And breath is such a wonderful way to unite those things. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the second thing we're going to talk about is positive thinking and meditation. And, I mean, over this past year, it's been really difficult to keep things positive. It's been really difficult. And when people have been, you know, in their houses by themselves and alone, you know, that depression can sneak in so quickly. So we talked about meditation before, and even people like, I don't know how to meditate. You know, I don't meditate. I think they're afraid of the word.
Well, it can be daunting if you're not used to it, and especially when your vision of meditation is maybe a monk who goes and meditates for long hours in the cave, and you're thinking, how boring is that? Can I do
right.
it? Yeah.
Right. Well, once again, meditation is a stress reliever. It improves concentration, decreases the rate of the aging of the brain, believe it or not,
yeah.
improves our cardiovascular and immune system, and reduces anxiety and depression. So there's different kinds of meditation. There's like a concentrated meditation, which focuses on words, groups of words, objects, like a mantra, saying the same word over and over again. An affirmation, starting your day with a positive affirmation. The one I came up with today, our example of our positive affirmation that I'd like you to think about today and use it, everybody that's listening, here it is. I am confident in my ability to make my dreams come true. Simple. And you can keep saying that over and over again. I am confident in my ability to make my dreams come true. So something as simple as a simple phrase, a simple sentence can make a difference if you repeat it throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be considered a meditation and something that people wouldn't consider a meditation. There's also mindful meditations, paying attention on purpose and without judgment, which is any kind of guided meditation, saying the rosary, prayer meditations with beads, that's a type of meditation. When you meditate, you set yourself up for success. I think so. I've told people many times that when I'm out running, when you see me in a veil, and I'm meditating. It's my way of meditating. I see you out walking. I'm sure that's probably one of your ways that you meditate. So there's different ways to meditate without actually sitting there and just meditating.
Yes, but, you know, I call them working or walking or movement meditations.
Yes, absolutely.
They absolutely count toward that. And especially runners, I am not a runner myself, but they report, they get into that zen-like mode. It's just the rhythm of their body being occupied, and all of a sudden inspiration will flow through in those moments.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I do a lot of writing when I'm running, which is part of meditation, and I'll come. I have all these great thoughts when I'm out there, and then I get home and I forget them all. But I need to start recording them.
Well, I think angels run with you, and the angels are working with you in those moments, and you're letting them, and you're feeling the inspiration of connection with God's majesty through nature, and that happens in such beautiful ways.
I love angels, and I put on my Facebook yesterday that I believed in angels. I was finishing my run yesterday, and I saw the swan flying down at the water and caught my eye, so I'm running down trying to catch the picture of the swan, you know? And I get there, and the swan was in the water, and I don't know if it's a male or female, do you?
I believe that's the male.
That's the male?
Yeah.
Well, he was swimming with his feathers up. Which is, I've never seen him doing that. Completely up.
Hmm.
Yeah. So when it was beautiful, I mean, it was just beautiful seeing him swim with his feathers up. However, when he turned around and went the other way, it looked like angel feathers.
Oh, yeah.
And I took a picture of it, And I was just—it looked just like a beautiful angel in the water, and it was just incredible. So it's funny you said that about the angels.
I know when we find a swan feather, it feels like there was just a little angel at the lakeside, or if we're kayaking, it's beautiful to find that. It's a little remembrance.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's like the swan feathers kind of have that furled, extra furl.
Yeah.
To it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
It's just strange. I've just never seen it puffed up like that. I don't know. So another thing with meditating mudras, hand gestures, and believe it or not, each finger has different energy, just putting different fingers together. One of the most commonly seen ones is the thumb and the index finger. Very common. And it's said to ensure mental peace, concentration, and actually activates the diaphragm. You would never think that. So that's a very, and this is one I'll use when I show a couple of the poses I'm going to show you. One of the most common ones I like to use to connect the right, left, left, right. It just feels like an overall connection with your body. And it's simple. The one I also use and we use a lot in yoga is, of course, our namaste hands, just our simple hands together. It creates such a sense of awareness, also connects the right and left sides of the brain, and gives you a sense of calmness. Just by putting your hands together and realizing your right and left side and making that a union of one, along with your breath, it's just, to me, it's just such a calming movement and such a simple movement. And when you put it by your heart, it like connects it all.
Yeah.
To your heart soul. And I just love that.
It's so beautiful. The polarity, because you have different polarities in each hand and the chakras that are there, and then when you join them and then at the heart. Absolutely. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Polarities. I love you. I love your vocabulary.
Well, that's what they are. They're different magnetic polarities in there.
I always talk to you about how wide your vocabulary is. Like, oh, I need to be like Willa.
Oh, come on now. I need to be like Nancy.
So the number three thing we're going to talk about is exercise. And I know this word alone just scares people to death, you know. And, I mean, seriously, people are like, I don't have time to exercise. That's probably the number one thing you hear people say. I'm too busy. I don't have time to exercise. Well, most people, when they're at work, exercise. You know, if you have a job at a convenience store or anywhere and you're walking around, that's exercise. If you're sitting there and honestly at your computer, that's a form of exercise. I'm sure you're burning something doing that.
Especially if you have a standing desk.
Yeah, those are so cool.
Yeah.
I love the idea of those.
Yeah.
So incorporating some sort of exercise, you know, I've even seen, you know, the shows for older people that can't get up, and they got that little bike thing where you just put your feet on, and that's exercise. It's movement.
Yeah.
It's any kind of movement. And if you're sedentary and sitting there, moving your hands around, moving your wrists around, just some kind of movement, even if you feel like you can't do movement, it, you know, increases oxygen, the flow of oxygen. It will just help you incredibly rather than just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, we don't want a state of atrophy or apathy. Atrophy being, the muscles start to just... And apathy being the almost like a, well, who cares?
Right.
That can come over a person in those moments. And I think that's where music can come into play. And music can bring in that energy that can move a person out of that mindset, even if they just are sitting there doing a little chair dance.
Yeah, I mean... So I'll run to music a lot just because it helps motivate me, especially if I'm out there doing some mileage by myself. It's just like it's a long time to be out there running. Or sometimes I won't. It just depends what kind of mood I'm in. But music definitely can change your energy in 1 second just from music. So I'm going to show a couple little poses that are just absolutely nothing poses, but they can give you some good things. So I'm going to stand back here. And you already mentioned this one, the mountain pose.
Yes.
It's simple. It's just a standing pose. And your feet are together, toes together, possibly V'd out if that's comfortable for you. Or they can be a little bit of shoulder width apart. And your hand, remember the index finger to the thumb? We talked about that.
Yes.
And just simply standing up straight with that connection of your hands and standing there. And you can close your eyes, not close your eyes. Like you said, give you that sense of balance, of each feet feeling balanced, feeling grounded into the earth. And just stand there. For a few moments, like you said, holding any pose is really important. Mountain pose creates a long supportive spine, encourages good posture, which a lot of us tend to have bad posture, especially if you're sitting in front of that computer a lot. Calms your mind and balances the nervous system. Just that simple standing mountain pose. It's amazing. Now this one, depending on how you feel, I don't want to... This is a standing forward fold bend, but believe it or not, a bend in your body stretches the hamstrings and calves, stimulates digestive organs, reduces fatigue and anxiety, brings a spinal release instantly, opens the back of your body, oxygenates your central nervous system. This simple little movement. And it's just simply, I'm going to show you this way, you're just simply, I'm going to go up, bending over. You can bend your knees, you can pull your chest to your thighs, and just simply reach towards the ground. For some people that might get dizzy, take your time with this because you are inverted. And it's just a nice release. And gently bring yourself up and roll those shoulders back when you come up. It's another simple little pose. The other one I want to show you is a standing back bend. And this back bend strengthens our back, but it boosts our mood. If you're like, ugh, just feeling ugh, and you want a simple little boost to your mood, it's just simply opening your arms and releasing up. If you have neck problems, you don't even have to look up. Just releasing, opening. It's a chest opener. And it's... It just will instantly boost your mood. Go figure. You probably wouldn't think that, would you? I don't know. The last one I want to show you, and it's one of my, there's a series of warrior poses, but this happens to be my favorite one. It's warrior two. It's a hip opener exchange. It stretches our legs instantly. It sculpts our glutes and thighs. It stimulates our abdominal organs, and it releases our back. And our back aches. And I know a lot of people, when you're sitting around a lot, you know, your back shiver, watching TV, you're just like, ugh. So a warrior two poses. I'm going to show it sideways again. You're going to bend that front knee. You're going to anchor that back leg so you're kind of, I don't know if you can see me or not. Then your arms are just going to be straight, like a straight line. And you're going to look out over this front middle finger. Or you can look whatever way your neck feels better. And you hold it. You just hold that. Release. Relax those shoulders back. That's it. Make sure that front knee is bent. Make sure you can see your toes. You don't want to go over your toes. You want to be able to look down and see your toes. Warrior two. Like I said, there's a series of warrior moves, but for some reason... I really like this one a lot. It makes you feel strong. And I said it kind of releases that back. And it's just good for you.
Beautifully done. Thank you for sharing those. I think it's good for people to have a few postures to throw into their toolbox to relieve the stress, as you said. It's so very important to know how to get back to center and to be gentle with our body and I do think that back, the one where you have the front bend forward, oh, some people, they may want to just put their hands on a chair, if that's as far as they can get, work your modifications as you need it, people. No worries.
And it goes back to what we said, it's whatever works for you.
But
those are, like I said, even just the standing pose, that's yoga. So don't let the word yoga intimidate you into thinking you can't do it.
Yeah.
Because you can.
People are not expecting, you don't need to be some sort of gymnast or acrobat person to be able to do this. Just those simple techniques can do a lot. And the chest opener is such an important thing. You know, it really does enter from the heart energy. The heart chakra opens up as you do this. And you're allowed the flow of the energy in there.
Beautiful. I mean, you can feel that almost instantly when you do that. It's just such a simple move. And you're right. I mean, yoga has come such a long way. You know, you'll see the ads and the people on YouTube, and, yeah, they can do all that gymnastic-type moves, but that's not me.
Well,
that's never been me.
This is where I tell you, I even went to a yoga studio in Hawaii many years ago, and they had been acrobats. their yoga floor had like special springboard stuff in it, and they expected us to be on our heads and everything, and I was like, I can't do this. Meanwhile, they have such control over their body. They can inhale and they can, you know, rearrange their organs practically. You know, I think that what my big takeaway was, I only do what I know to do. I can go a little bit beyond sometimes, but just be in that space of, I'm going to be here now. I am unifying with the divine. My mind, body, and spirit are all aligned as one in this moment. And so that's a moment that you then can carry forward in more distracting times, or in more upsetting times, or maybe just that. I need to have a realignment with that meditation I had earlier today so that I can get through this moment now. And I think that's the gift. That's the true gift of having a yoga practice and a meditation practice, is that your energy almost, it's like you can send it forward in your day if you wish, or go backward and get it if you need it.
Yeah, I like that. You're exactly right. Totally. So the fourth thing I want to talk about is proper relaxation, savasana, a rest, a sleep. In yoga, whenever we do our practice, we always end with savasana. And savasana can be a minute, could be 5 minutes, it could be as long as you want. It's a resting position, which is also a yoga position, even though people are like, how could that be yoga? You're just laying there, resting. Your hands can either be down if you need to be grounded, or up if you feel like you're releasing yourself to the universe. And rest can also just mean how long you're sleeping a night, which is so important. You know, some people need 4 hours, some people need 9 hours. There's such a vast difference in what people need for themselves. And it once again goes back into talking about what you personally and individually need for yourself to feel rejuvenated, to feel like you can't get out of bed without hitting that alarm 4 or 5 times because you're too tired to get up. If you're doing that, obviously you're not getting enough rest. And just to be incorporating some kind of rest throughout your day, sometimes people rest by cooking. That's a form of rest to them. There's different types of rest without actually physically sleeping. It's a matter of resting your mind, about resting your mind, resting your body, but it's very important to rest and incorporate that as part of your life, especially people that are in these high-stress jobs that have no time to rest and think that they can get by in 2 or 3 hours of sleep. Eventually, that'll catch up with you. Will it not?
Absolutely. Well, you've been in situations where you've had to be without sleep because that's been the necessity of the job.
The longest I was up, straight working was like 36 hours. So, yeah, I mean, I've done that. I've been there. I worked midnight shift for 15 straight years, where at the end of that 15 years, I wasn't even sleeping hardly at all. I mean, it just took a toll on me. It took a huge toll on me, not sleeping and not being able to rest. So I totally understand that and relate to people that are in those high-stress jobs that can't sleep.
Yeah.
And I can't express to you how important it is to find that time to be able to make for yourself, to be able to rest.
Yeah, that circadian rhythm in your case was definitely affected throughout all those years. And I think it's beautiful that you knew that the healing facets of yoga would help you with that. And one of my favorite things to do in Savasana when we've had group yoga classes is when the teacher, I remember Casey when she was teaching it, at the church there, and she would, she would just kind of come by and tweak your body so it was in that perfect posture mode, and it did feel so much better after she tweaked you, what you think you are versus let's put you in true alignment, and it's there so your body can remember what true alignment feels like. That's certainly the value of attending a group yoga session, so you have an instructor that can help tweak a bit the posturing so you can get the most out of it.
Well, I've been doing, as you know, a second certification.
Yeah.
And part of the certification, our yoga instructor has been telling us to take pictures of ourselves and our postures and look at them and boy, am I surprised. I've been taking some pictures and I look and I thought, ooh, that's what I look like. Because there hasn't been anybody going around tweaking me and getting me in that certain, maybe my back is rounded. Maybe I'm not standing up. I thought I was in a good stand-up posture, and I wasn't. I'm leaning a little forward. But you're exactly right. To be able to actually go by and tweak people just a little bit, or just kind of look at yourself a little bit, and where are you holding on to things? Because you can surely see it when you take a picture and look back at yourself, of where you're holding that stress at, where you're holding that negative energy at. It comes out in your body form, for sure.
You can see it, and I've almost been more aware that I swing my right arm more than my left, and I know it's because I carry my purse typically on that side, and it's almost been kind of trained to kind of clamp my purse, right?
Right, yeah.
So I've been having to make that conscious effort in just to walk. But, oh, wait, one arm is not swinging as much as the other. Well, I noticed it on someone else, and I said, I wonder if that's happening to me. And I was like, yes, yes, that's what I'm doing too.
That's very interesting. I noticed, I told you I've had constant chronic knee problem after surgery, and I was wearing a brace for the longest time on my knee. But I started noticing when I was running that I was almost favoring that knee that I had the brace on and almost limping a little bit. I could feel that I wasn't running even.
Yeah.
And I'd gone to the chiropractor a few months ago, and he told me, he goes, that's more, that hinders things more than it helps things. Why don't you try running without it to strengthen that knee and help you balance yourself more? And I'll be darned, I mean, it's hard, and I'm a little worried because I have such knee problems, but I've noticed the strength, and I've noticed myself running in more alignment and straighter and not out of balance. So.
Yeah. It's another gift of yoga and other body movement exercises that you start to become more aware of how your body mechanics are working and how things can be thrown off. And if they're thrown off, the other ways that it's almost like a domino effect that can throw off other arenas of your life.
Right. Yeah.
So it's good to get back to those kind of basic principles of your body mechanics and of your breathing and go back to source, as it were. It does help to coordinate those things together. Beautiful.
Right. So the last thing I want to talk about, and I know it's a sensitive subject with a lot of people, but is proper diet. And I know me and you have had plenty of talks about this because you been doing different things.
Sure.
I changed my eating style about a year and a half ago after trying many different things, but I'm doing the keto, sort of, pretty strict keto lifestyle, it's helped me because I have arthritis and I have different things I deal with, and just taking that white sugar out of my life just really helped me. Now, I'm not telling anybody to do that at all, but what I am going to ask anybody that's listening today, as far as diet is concerned, I'm going to challenge you to take one little simple change. Make one little simple change in the way you're eating right now and see if that makes a difference. Just one little simple change. Way back when, many years ago, the simple change I decided to make was to go from regular soda to diet soda. Bless you. going from regular soda to diet soda. That's all I did. And believe it or not, just making that tiny little change, I mean, I lost weight just doing that. I felt better. And I drank regular soda forever. Now I can't even stand the taste of it. I mean, I can't even do it. But I just asked you to take one little thing that maybe is not, you feel is not so healthy for yourself as your eating has become your eating habits. And I know it's been hard with the pandemic. If anything, I think they said people have gained an average of 10 to 12 pounds during this pandemic instead of losing weight. Because you turn to food. It's a comfort thing. You know, it makes you feel good. And I get that. But there's other things I think we've talked about today that can make you feel just as good. Breathing, meditating, movement. That can make you feel just as good if you use that as a crutch instead of food. So, yeah, are you still doing your
Yeah, food? We've been doing more keto, actually, the last couple of weeks. So it's been kind of interesting to see what happens with certain members of the family and their adjustments. For some, it's been easier than others. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, I remember what it was like when I first cut sugar out, and how you kind of go, oh, gosh, I don't know if I could do this. Oh, and then, you know, when you do, you go, well, that was, your taste buds change. And, you know, the way sugar registers in your body, you're like, whoa, that's a lot of sugar. And so you don't want to get back into the craving of that again. So it's a very valid point. And, you know, yoga does have that diet aspect as well, the what are you eating. And you can see how...
What are you putting into your body to sustain it?
In the temple.
Yeah, because your body needs to be a temple, for sure. And it needs to be that special thing. I mean, it's what we are made of. It's how are you going to take care of that? How do you choose to take care of that? How do you choose to sustain yourself? And food is only about sustaining. So what are you going to put in that to sustain yourself?
Exactly.
I know you've done, like, cleansing, too. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
How do you go without eating? I can't do that. I'm a runner. I need to eat.
Well, you start to kind of work way through that, you know. For some people, they need to start small, and for other people, they can go right into it. It just depends on the individual and to what level they have that. But it's, you know, fasting is something that you see in many cultures, in many religions, and it does have a purpose to let the body rest. You know, the idea of savasana, you know, being able to just lay and rest, and you gave other examples of rest. Sometimes our digestion needs to rest so that we can reset and really bolster our immune system during those times. So the thing, you know, autophagy, right? If you're doing some of you out there might be knowing the intermittent fasting. You know, your body gets into autophagy. It's able to dump the things it no longer needs so that you can run more efficiently. And that's something that's a good thing for regular lifestyle, but also for spiritual practice. Because if you're working with a lot of energy on any given day, if you're working with clients or wanting to build your own mediumship or intuitive or healing practices, that's something that's important to know how to move energy through the digestive system and how that can affect other energetic, not just the circulatory but in the lymph, but also your energetic bodies, what you put into your physical. Yeah.
Right. And like I said, I don't, I don't like to scare people with the topic of diet because I know it's a sensitive subject for a lot of people,
for sure.
And it's personal. You know, what you eat is personal.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that maybe think about what you eat a little bit more. And if you feel like maybe your eating habits aren't as good as they could be, maybe just choose one simple little thing to help better your eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the reality of things, it's going to overall make you feel better. And it's going to incorporate everything we've been talking about this morning into one big picture. And the big picture is your personal wellness. Your personal wellness, your personal well-being, your personal happiness, it all intertwines. It's all together. It's all parallel, and it's all important.
Absolutely.
I know we've been talking about yoga a lot this morning because I'm personal about it. I'm passionate about it. But if yoga's not your thing, just find what your thing is.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff out there. And I cross-train for sure. You know, I do yoga. I do running. I do weight training. I cross-train. I'm just yoga and that's it. I do all sorts of things because that's what makes me feel good.
Sure.
It's just a matter of what makes you feel good and incorporating some kind of wellness to your life, no matter what it is, because it's so important. And you put that together with your spirituality and your belief system, overall, you're going to be a much better, happier person.
I couldn't agree more, Nancy. It's so beautifully put and stated, because it really is about connecting that mind, body, and spirit through wellness. That's why you chose that topic. We chose that topic title, that it was very much that how do we help people to unite those, to sustain them through stressful times or times where they maybe haven't been focusing as they wish on these ideas, concepts, and putting them into a practice, putting them into reality. And hopefully some people who've been tuning in today, they go, yeah, you know, I think I want to try that. Or, yeah, you know, this works. I'm glad they mentioned that. That's what's been working for me. There'll be something along the way that you'll resonate with that you'll say, yes, that's a practice for me that I'm putting into my life because I feel the depth of it, the purpose of it. I feel that it is benefiting me in higher vibrational ways. So that's beautiful, beautiful, Nancy.
Right, that's all what it's about, for sure.
Yes. Well, you've shared so many great tips and practices with us today. I couldn't be more delighted with what you've been able to offer us.
Well, thank you, and I love my neighbor.
I love you, too. And I want to mention that this is the last day. This is the last day if anybody wants to register to view my spirit guides class video. This is the last day for that. I thought I'd better mention it. And I will be putting up another class video to come, clairvoyance and symbol interpretation. And the second series of my Monday Night Circle is starting up on April 19th. So you can go to my website to register for those things at willowwhite.com, and that way you can do some online classes with me. Some are video only, and some are live classes that you can attend and actually get some practice and interact with me and ask questions as needed. So,
meditation videos out there also?
Yeah, I have some audio meditations, and I'll be putting more out so people can get those. I enjoy.
Yeah, great voice for meditation.
Aw,
you have the perfect voice for it, seriously. I thought they were excellent.
Aw, thanks so much. I appreciate you saying that. And it's something that I think people need sometimes, a guided meditation, so that they can know where next they need to go. But even during a guided meditation, if you need to go somewhere else and it took you to a place where you were able to relax and you've accessed something else that is important to discover about yourself spiritually at that moment, I encourage people to go off the beaten track and go for it on that particular level. Because that's how it is with yoga. That's how it is with any practice. It opens the door for us so that we can then go deeper into our spiritual understanding and practices. Very, very possible. And a lot of great shows to look forward to here in April. Next week I have on my show Joe Scheel, and we'll be talking about mediumship and spiritualist principles. And then the week after that is Christine Freeberry. We'll be talking about the power of massage. And then I have another great show planned about the vagus nerve and the intuitive health connection. So this is a big health month for Wednesdays with Willa, but it all ties together for what can bring the best and brightest of yourself more into the picture in your own life. And I really feel that what you shared today, Nancy, has been such a great foundation for so many as we start April. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. We'll see you on next week on Wednesdays with Willa at 10 a.m. And thanks again, everyone, for being here. Thanks, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Thank you.